As you've heard, our first scripture lesson today comes from the book of Proverbs, the beginning of the ancient Hebrew wisdom literature. There are other books like Job and Ecclesiastes that are also written in scripture for the purpose of teaching wisdom, not just to individuals, but to the whole community. The beginning of the book of Proverbs is structured as a conversation between a parent and a child. And that's where today's scripture lesson comes from. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. The parent says to the child, "My child, keep your father's commandment and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John. Interestingly, a proverb itself, but this time coming from Jesus' own lips. This is in the context of a conversation where people are warning him that others are out to get him. And this is how he responds. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The first nine chapters from the book of Proverbs, which we've been studying a lot this month of January in Sunday school and on Wednesdays, the first nine chapters of the book are structured as a series of instructions between a parent and a child. As it's presented, it's really not much of a conversation because the parent does all the talking. It's more of a lecture to the youngster. None of us talk to our kids that way today, do we? My wife has to remind me often that when I'm trying to discipline our kids, I have a tendency to lapse into lecturing, to keep talking and talking and talking and talking as if I can somehow, by sheer force of verbal willpower, get them to act a certain way. Well, the parent of Proverbs is giving this child a talking to, but it's not coming from a place of frustration or exhaustion like most of my lectures. No, it's coming from a place of patience, of deep experience. It's coming from a place of wisdom. This collection in the first nine chapters is a set of conversations that contain the insight, the knowledge, the wisdom of the community passed on through the ages, which the elder is trying to impart to the young person. The wise elder says, "My child, keep your father's commandment and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Though these truths are presented as coming from a parent, the teachings of Proverbs could just as easily come from a wise mentor or a coach, a beloved teacher or a professor, a Sunday school leader or youth advisor, a scout leader, certainly. The insight of one generation passed on to the next is described as a lamp and a light to guide our feet along the path of wisdom. All this talk about paths and lights or not having lights makes it sound awfully fitting to read this text on Scout Sunday. Notice the rich language the parent uses to create an image in our mind of wisdom guiding us through dark trails in the woods, keeping watch over us at night and welcoming us in the morning. It sounds an awful lot like a camp out to me. Jesus' own teaching from our gospel lesson is another proverb. Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. This task of shaping the wisdom and the knowledge of the next generation is a holy endeavor, a huge responsibility. The wise lovingly give their wisdom away as a great gift that cannot be repaid. And yet we also know quite too well that not all relationships between young and old are shaped by such truth and love and dignity. We know story after story of abuse and neglect, of predatory behavior and horrific atrocities committed against children. This week alone, our news feeds have been filled with stories that are hard to hear. Parents in California keeping malnutrition children chained into a world of horror. A teen doctor abusing his position of trust and power to assault young gymnasts for decades. Such sinfulness is precisely the kind of darkness that Jesus is talking about when he says that those who walk in darkness have no light in them. While we trustingly listen and learn from the wise teachings of elders and parents like the one in the book of Proverbs, we must confess and be convicted that not all such relationships are shaped by light and love. That's why wisdom, true wisdom, is so valuable, because it's so rare. In a world that seems filled with darkness, we need the light of truth, the lamp of love, to guide us in the right direction along the path that leads to wisdom. There are many conversations and words from one generation that shape us. I've been particularly influenced by a series of conversations that I've had with the wisest person I know, my grandfather, Papa, a retired Baptist preacher. We've talked thousands and thousands of times throughout the years. I've learned an awful lot from him, but there are five particular conversations we've had that have shaped me into the person I am today, or at least the person I aspire to be. When I was 9 years old, we were on vacation with my grandparents down at Dauphin Island when I learned that we were going to be moving from Tuscaloosa to Mobile. I was distraught. That's the worst thing my 9-year-old brain could imagine. Moving away from all my friends, from all I'd ever known. And so while I was soaking my pillow in a summer rainstorm of tears, my grandfather walked into the room. He sat down on the bed and he told me the story of when his family had moved when he was a little boy. He told me about how sad he was to leave his friends and how nervous he was to go somewhere new. But then he told me how quickly he met and made new friends and how much fun they had together. He told me it was okay to be sad, but that even though I didn't know it yet, I was going to learn to love my new home and my new friends. Now, none of that was profoundly deep or original, but he was talking to a 9-year-old, and that's exactly what I needed to hear that day. Proverbs says, "Bind these words upon your heart. Tie them around your neck." When I was 18 years old, my grandfather and I had another one of those conversations. I was about to leave home and head 8 hours away to college in South Carolina. We were playing golf, my grandfather and I, standing on the tee box, and he said, "Buzz, when you get there to this new place, there will be a lot of temptations to do certain things and to act certain ways that you know aren't right. But they'll seem like the quickest way to make friends.
I know it will be hard, but you've got to be comfortable being lonely for a while. He said, stay true to who you are and how you know you're supposed to act. If others around you don't include you, that's okay. You'll be lonely at first. But if you can become comfortable with that loneliness for a while, you'll meet people who want to be your friend for who you really are. You'll form relationships that will last because they'll be genuine, not forced or fake. I thought back on those two conversations hundreds and hundreds of times in my life, but there's something I'd never noticed about them until this very week while studying the book of Proverbs. One of the truly wise parts of the advice my grandfather gave to this young man heading off to college was that it was the exact opposite of what he had said to me when I was younger. To the 9-year-old, he reassuringly said, "Don't worry, you'll make friends quickly." To the 18-year-old, he said, "Don't make friends too quickly." Both times, he was right. He knew what to say, but just as importantly, he knew when to say it. That's the kind of wisdom that the book of Proverbs is seeking to teach and instill. Not just knowing the words of the wise, but discerning where to fit them into life. Learning in which context they apply. Proverbs says, when you walk, they will lead you. When I was 22 years old, I had finished college and was engaged to Ryan. A few weeks before our wedding, my grandfather and I were again on that same golf course, and he talked to me about marriage. He said, deep down, marriage is all about sharing. He said, it seems obvious when you're in a house together that you share all these things that you own, but what a lot of couples miss is that material objects are just the easiest things to share. The best marriages, he said, happen when people share power, when people share trust, when they share failure, when they share who and how and why decisions get made. He said, there are many couples who never learn how to share the harder things, and it rarely ends well. Proverbs says, when you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. When I was finishing my studies in seminary, preparing to become a pastor myself, as my grandfather had been, I went to lunch and talked with him some about his own experiences in ministry. I'll never forget one of the things he said in that conversation. He said, "Buzz, none of us are who we are. We are all becoming who we will be. None of us are who we are. We are all becoming who we will be." In other words, he was saying we are all works in progress. The best of us and the worst of us are always in transition. And yet we live in ways that are so fixated on isolated achievements or individual mistakes that we define ourselves and we especially define others by individual moments, as if they are forever stuck in their identity. Our world so easily gives up on people who act certain ways or say certain things as if that is the sum total of their entire story. But our stories are still being written. And God is a God who authors beautiful stories of transformation, stories of redemption, stories of goodness that comes even out of evil, of light that shines even in the darkness. Proverbs says, the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. A little over 4 years ago, when I had been called to serve as the pastor of this church, but in the weeks before I had actually started, my grandfather and I talked over the phone about church and ministry again. I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Always remember to focus on the basics of being a pastor." He said, "Don't get distracted by the various movements out there and efforts to change the church, the larger church. Those come and go every few years." Now, you've got to know, this wasn't coming from someone who was close-minded or antagonistic to the important change that happens sometimes. My grandfather had been active as a pastor in standing for civil rights in Alabama and Mississippi in times when it wasn't safe to do so. He'd worked on issues of justice and equality in the communities where he lived. In his later years, his congregation was even kicked out of their local governing body because they dared to ordain a woman as a pastor. He has a heart for justice, but he did not take such stands because they grew out of some party platform or some outside political agenda. No, they always grew, these stands, they always grew out of the deep, deep love that he had for the people in the churches that he was serving and the ways that they had discerned they were called to serve together. He said, "Don't get distracted by those outside movements. You might agree with some of them. You might disagree with others. You might applaud their leaders or not," he said, "but remember, your call is to focus on the work of pastoral ministry in your church. Preaching, teaching, pastoral care visits with your congregation." He said he'd seen so many pastors who got so focused on everything else going on out there in the larger church that they forgot about their primary charge and call to care for their congregation. Jesus said, "Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of the world." Friends, I share these stories with you not so you can learn about and love my grandfather, though you are certainly free to do so. I share them with you because they are critical points along my own path of wisdom. I share these reflections and stories because I hope you'll do some of that same work yourself, thinking back, remembering back the people, the truths, the teachings, the lights and the lamps, the words and the truth that guide us on our journey, to remember the ways that wisdom shapes us into who we are becoming, to remember and to cherish the words passed on from generation to generation. Bind them on your heart. Tie them around your neck, that we might walk together in the light as we journey together from one generation to the next, following the path, following the one who is the light of the world. To God alone be the glory. Amen.